Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. The Reverend Dr. James Bonnick is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Jonah chapter 3. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you." So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey. And he called out, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them to the least of them. The word reached the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he issued a proclamation and published through Nineveh, "By the decree of the king and his nobles, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and let them call out mightily to God. Let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who knows? God may turn and relent and turn from his fierce anger, so that we may not perish." When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Jonah had a mission. God called him to go to the heathen city of Nineveh and to call them to repent of their sins. He was to call out, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." Nineveh was at the receiving end of God's anger. Who wants to be at the receiving end of God's anger? Israel knew this anger, as Moses records. "So the Lord's anger burned against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years. St. Paul warns the Christians in Rome and us of God's anger when he writes, "But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God." The Creator of the world formed and fashioned us with love a sinful, finite mind cannot fathom. He breathes his perfect righteousness into us. We were the apple of his eye, meant to be a perfect union with him forever. And like a child disobeys and rebels against a most kind and benevolent father, we disobeyed and rebelled against our Father in heaven. And so, as Luther teaches us, God threatens to punish all who break these commandments. Therefore, we should fear his wrath and not do anything against them. Our self-centered will and our evil world question God's right to call us to repent. But God calls us to repent because he loves us. He calls us to repent, to return to him and believe in him for the forgiveness of our sins and our eternal life with him. For without him, we are doomed and damned. He calls us to repent and to put away our works, and thoughts of darkness, and to live as the children of light, as the children of God. That's what God is doing through the prophet like Joel, who pleads, "Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love." That's what God is doing through John the Baptist, who cries out, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." That's what God is doing in his own flesh. As Jesus says, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Repent and believe in the good news of your salvation. And so we hear Jonah today calling out against Nineveh in her sins and unbelief because God wants to save her. "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh repent. They believed God. They called for a fast and they put on sackcloth. The king himself covered himself with sackcloth and sat in ashes. Perhaps they had some understanding of those words, "You are dust, and to dust you shall return." Today, in his fatherly, divine, benevolent, and merciful love, God calls you and me to repent. He calls us to acknowledge and confess our sins against him and against our neighbor. He calls us to believe in him. He calls us to believe that he is indeed the Lamb of God who takes away our sin. He calls us to turn away from evil and amend our sinful works and our sinful ways. Today marks the 475th anniversary of Martin Luther's death, February 18, 1546. Today we repent with the sentiments of Luther, who said, "The godly always feel their own imperfection, and they always long for the grace of God. We sigh and pray for the remission of sins." Luther continues, "We sin much, and therefore we need much forgiveness." Quite astounding, isn't it, that the king of Nineveh arose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes, calling mightily to God. And yet Jesus is the King of Kings. Not a sinful earthly king, but a holy and perfect king, with no sin and with power that has no limits. And yet, as in that ancient hymn, "Then stepped forth the Lord of all from his pure and kingly hall. God of God, yet fully man, his heroic course began." And it began in Mary's womb. In Mary's womb is the Son of the Most High, who will reign over his kingdom, which shall have no end. And yet he removed his majestic robe and took on swaddling cloths. He made himself to be nothing, taking on the form of a servant. Our King, Jesus, humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. He was baptized in the Jordan River, and he covers himself with the sackcloth of our sin. He exits the Jordan as our substitute. His face is now set toward Jerusalem, where he will suffer and die, taking the punishment of our sin upon himself. Or as St. Paul is so eloquently inspired to write, "For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Luther put it this way, "Our sin must be Christ's own sin, or we shall perish eternally." Our sin did become Christ's own sin, and he took our sins upon himself. And then our kingly Lord sat in the ashes of our punishment and death. Pilate had an inscription put on the cross, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." Look at the cross and behold your King. For in his weakness and in the pouring out of his blood, he saves you. And he claims you as his own child for all eternity. And our King calls out mightily to God, "Father, forgive them." And we are forgiven. "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And as the Lord of life hangs in the twilight of our sin and death and hell, God redeems us. He buys us back with his own blood. He rescues us. He keeps us to live with him forever. 4 times on the night of his death, Luther prayed, "Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God." This is now our confidence. Jesus Christ is now our hope. We commend ourselves into the one who is our strength and our comfort and our faith, as it is in the crucified and risen Christ, our eternal King. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Here we are now in the 40 days of Lent. 40 days of ashes and repentance. 40 days of sackcloth and prayer. 40 days of contemplation and faith in the God of our salvation. 40 days, all leading up to the great overthrow. When Jesus dies and our sins are overthrown and we are forgiven. When Jesus dies and Satan is overthrown and he has no more power over us. When Jesus rises and death is overthrown, and we too shall rise imperishable and immortal on the last day. And when God saw what his Son had done, he relented of his anger toward us. Or in the words of Luther, "He redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, that I may be his own and live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness." Amen.
Thank you for joining us for chapel. Today we pray for Chaplain Cody Norton, who is deployed, and Chaplain Charles Malley, who is deployed. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.